Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're exploring a really fascinating collection of sources. They give this remarkable perspective on the connection between, well, Christ, angels, and us, humanity.
Yes, it's quite something.
Our mission, really, is to unpack the ideas in these specific texts, looking at their insights into, you know, historical, present, and future interactions. Okay, let's dive in.
What's truly fascinating here is how these writings trace this dynamic, the communion between the divine, the heavenly, and humankind, right from creation all the way through eternity.
Yeah.
And we're going to pull out some, I think, surprising insights into their continuous roles and maybe what that might mean for you.
Okay, so to really get this connection, these sources take us right back to Eden, describing Adam's state there.
That original state.
Exactly. They say he had open communion with his maker. He apparently talked with God and Christ and angels in paradise without a dimming veil.
Just direct conversation.
Imagine that, a completely unhindered connection. It's like the blueprint for how things were meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And even after the fall, the texts suggest there was still a presence, though maybe altered. They say those who feared the Lord had also Christ and angels for their teachers.
Still learning from them.
Right. And God was communicating at the gate of paradise. You know, the one guarded by cherubim. That's where people like Cain and Abel brought their sacrifices.
So even with the gate guarded, there was still a point of contact.
It seems so. It's striking that a direct line of sorts was still maintained even then.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, that initial state was one of, well, the text calls it moral rectitude and innocency.
Complete alignment.
Essentially, yes. Complete moral alignment, enjoying direct unobstructed access, seeing the divine, the holy angels. This perfect beginning is really crucial as a baseline, you see, to understand the dramatic changes that came later.
And those changes were pretty profound according to these sources. They talk about sin bringing this deep separation between God and man.
A real division.
Yeah, it ushered in what they call moral darkness, like the pall of death. It sounds bleak. Centuries where this spiritual disconnect seemed to just dominate. It paints a really stark picture.
It does. Very stark.
But then the sources shift. They introduce this pivotal moment, this turning point, the atonement of Christ.
Yeah.
They say the atonement of Christ alone could span the abyss, that chasm of separation. It made it possible again for blessing, for salvation, to flow from heaven to earth.
It's presented as the only way across that divide.
The soul bridge.
That's right. Because after that transgression, humanity was certainly, as the text puts it, cut off from direct approach to his creator. No question.
Cut off.
But, and this is key, these texts emphasize God's initiative didn't stop. He chose to keep communicating, even after that rupture. But now the communication channel was through Christ and angels.
So the method changed, but the desire for connection didn't.
Precisely. It highlights this persistent divine desire, even when direct access was gone.
Okay, so here's what gets really interesting, I think. We start looking into the active roles, the many things Christ and angels are described as doing, not just way back when, but potentially in our daily lives, even now.
The ongoing ministry.
Right. The sources describe how God and Christ and angels are all ministering to the afflicted, the suffering, and the sinful. Always present, always helping.
It's a comforting thought, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
And what's remarkable is this idea that when you dedicate yourself to God's work, you know, just use the gifts he's given you for that, you actually enter into partnership with heavenly beings.
A partnership, that's a strong word.
It is. The texts suggest your heart will throb in sympathy with theirs, and you'll become assimilated to them in character. It sounds like this incredibly profound, transformative collaboration.
And we see examples, concrete examples of this divine assistance throughout history in these writings.
Like what?
Well, they highlight that divine messengers, angels, always accompanied the Ark of God on its journeys, protectors, essentially. And there's this remarkable instance where Christ and angels stood by the ark and the priests in the bed of the river until all Israel had passed over Jordan.
Wow, right there in the middle of the river.
Right there. And they even attended the circuit of the ark around Jericho and finally cast down the massive walls of the city. It's such a vivid picture of an active, unseen presence making a real difference.
It really is. Direct intervention.
And this celestial support, these sources explain, wasn't just for big historical events. It extends to individuals, too.
How so?
They tell us that those accounted worthy to suffer for the truth, Well, they could look up by faith and actually perceive Christ and angels leaning over the battlements of heaven.
Watching them.
Yes, gazing upon them with the deepest interest and regarding their steadfastness with approval. Imagine knowing you had that kind of heavenly audience, that support during immense hardship.
That's quite something. An attentive, invested audience.
Mm-hmm. And we also learn from Christ's own example, particularly in facing temptation, when he said very firmly, "Get thee hence, Satan." The promise, according to these texts, is pretty direct. If you follow that method, if you resist firmly, Satan will leave you, and angels will minister unto you.
So resistance brings angelic help, directly.
That's how it's presented, a tangible outcome of standing firm against evil.
It's just incredible to think about the scale of this. Like the idea that joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth.
The cosmic ripple effect.
Exactly. And these sources also put forward this powerful concept that humanity, that you are given powers, capacities that let you become co-workers with Christ and angels in the work of human redemption.
Co-workers. Again, that partnership idea.
Yes. And it includes tangible things like contributing financially to God's work, helping people find Jesus. It implies your actions here on earth genuinely resonate in the heavens.
Indeed. And these writings consistently emphasize this sense of constant divine observation.
Always being watched.
In a supportive way, it seems. Christ and angels are watching the development of character and weighing moral worth. They are looking on with intense interest to see if the souls of men appreciate the great sacrifice.
Intense interest.
Yes. And the texts urge you directly to constantly consider that we are in the presence of holy angels.
That's a challenging thought.
It is. And it raises an important question, doesn't it? How might your daily choices, your actions, change if you really held on to that awareness, knowing that audience is present?
That's a lot to chew on. And thinking about historical interactions, again, it wasn't just abstract. The sources point to specific people.
Real individuals.
Yeah. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all the patriarchs and prophets heard the gospel through Christ. Specifically, Abraham walked and talked with the heavenly angels who came to him in the garb of humanity.
Like meeting strangers who were actually angels.
Exactly. And Moses, even more intimately, held converse with Jesus face to face as one who speaketh with a friend.
Face to face. That's incredibly close.
It's a remarkable picture of personal access for some.
Mm-hmm.
And these documents suggest this communication role continues. Angels are communicating to men. Even now. And ministers, preachers, are reminded that Christ and angels are in his audience as listeners when they speak.
Wow. So the audience is bigger than you think.
Much bigger.
Yeah.
It's a profound thought about the unseen participants in just, well, everyday life and ministry.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit. Let's look forward to the future described in these sources.
The culmination.
Right. They explain that when that which is perfect is come, and that refers to Christ's ultimate return, the need for things like the spirit of prophecy, you know, dreams, visions, that sort of thing, it will cease.
Why?
Because the partial understanding they provide won't be needed anymore. It gives way to full clarity, full presence.
Which brings us to the ultimate promise, doesn't it? Revealed in these writings.
What's that?
When humanity is finally redeemed, man shall walk and talk with God and Christ and angels in Eden restored. And crucially, it will be face to face.
Face to face, like Adam in the beginning, but permanent.
Exactly. This is described as the perfect day of glory, a complete restoration that supersedes the partial light, the mediated communication we have now.
No more veil.
No more veil. It's a truly grand vision, isn't it? The texts speak of an eternal weight of glory and this promised place where Christ and angels shall meet us. It's the ultimate destination.
The end game of this whole divine human story.
As presented here, yes.
So reflecting on all this, What does it ultimately mean for you, the listener? According to these specific sources, it points towards a future where you shall finally be permitted to dwell with Christ and angels and all the redeemed throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity.
An eternal community.
That's the ultimate destiny laid out in these documents. It's quite profound. Mm-hmm. We've covered a lot of ground today, haven't we? Taking this journey through the sources.
We really have.
From that, you know, intimate communion in Eden, then the separation, but followed by this continuous active partnership between heaven and humanity.
Leading right up to this breathtaking promise of restored, completely open, face-to-face interaction.
Yeah. So maybe a final thought to leave with everyone.
Okay. Given the perspective, These sources offer this idea that Christ and angels are looking on, deeply invested in your work, measuring every action.
Right.
And that you have this incredible opportunity to be, as the text says, in the very best of company, aligned on the side of God and Jesus Christ and angels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what fresh perspective might really taking that to heart bring to your daily decisions, your goals, your aspirations? How might that change things for you?
Something definitely worth pondering. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.